I believe that I have two objectives for what remains for the rest of our morning. Number one, I want to spend some time just reflecting on the theme of Thanksgiving and the goodness of God. And again, that'll have a special tone given in that we are celebrating this four-year process to renew and renovate our facility. And secondly, we want to formally rededicate this place, as Brent said, to God's glory. So first of all, let's go to job one, Thanksgiving. Why is it that we need to come back to Thanksgiving every year? I think it's because it's a memory problem that we have. You have, as a human being, an incredible capacity to remember things. Scientists have made a rough calculation on the capacity of your brain to store information, and there's a professor of psychology at Northwestern University, and in his estimation, he figures the brain can store 2.5 million gigabytes of information, which is equal to 300 years straight worth of TV that your brain can store. So just imagine if you could download Netflix onto your brain, you could do it. So it would appear that we have a virtually unlimited storage capacity, which raises the question, why then do we forget so much, right? Part of the problem is that we rely, as human beings, a lot on our short-term memory. While our long-term memory is virtually limitless, our short-term or working memory has a much, much smaller capacity. Depending on who you read and depending on the researchers that you talk to, they say that we can only remember 5 to 9 pieces of information at any given time, with some people suggesting that we actually can't hold more than 4 items in our long-term memories. And those of you who are women would suggest that we men have trouble with 1. Unfortunately, we are overly reliant on our short-term memories while we underutilize our long-term memories. The good news is that the research suggests that we actually can exercise long-term memory. We are more likely to remember something if, A, we make an active effort to understand that what it is that we're trying to remember, and B, if we come back to it regularly. Which, coincidentally, is why you and I need Thanksgiving. As human beings, as followers of Jesus, we seem to slot our experiences of God's goodness, God's provision, God's blessing, His kindness, His protection, all of that seems to get filed in short-term memory, which means that we won't have access to those memories, to those truths, when we really need it. When we need to remember that God really does care for us and meet our needs. Let me show you how that works from a little story in the Bible. If you have your Bibles, go to the Old Testament and the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8 is a speech given by Moses, the leader of the Hebrew people. And it's just before they're about to enter Canaan, the land that was promised to them and their ancestors for hundreds of years. They're about to go in. When this speech was given, they've just been through 40 hard years in the desert where God did some miraculous things among them, and they are finally about to get a piece of land of their own. But they had a little problem like us. Defective short-term memories, even defective long-term memories. And as they're about to go across the Jordan River, Moses is scared that once they get into their promised land, once they get comfortable in their new home, their underutilized long-term memory muscles were going to fail them. So we're going to jump right into the middle of Moses' speech. Let's start in Deuteronomy 8, beginning in verse 7. We'll read all the way to verse 18. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers, as it is today. God is good, Moses says. He's brought you through the wilderness and is about to bless your socks off with food, shelter, clothing, plenty of natural resources. But don't forget. Remember, exercise your long-term memory. Make an active effort to understand the immensity of God's generosity. Come back to God's goodness regularly. Every day, at every meal, every time you get together for church, Moses says, remember. Practice thanksgiving. Otherwise, your memory will fail you and you will get off track. Look at verse 17 again. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Do you see what happens if you don't activate your remembering thanksgiving muscles? What happens is your perspective gets messed up. I did it. I created my life. I'm the designer. I am the architect. I made it happen. Therefore, I deserve the credit, and I am the center of my own life. This guy who writes books named Christopher Wright says that this verse could be our capitalist charter. This is what he writes. This is how we think as North Americans. Whatever my power and the strength of my hand produce is for me. That is, it is mine to enjoy, to exploit as I wish. My abilities, my strength, my hard work, my cleverness, my professional skills produced it. Ergo, it is mine. It's not true. You didn't do it all. God is the one who provides. So, my friends, like our spiritual ancestors, the Hebrew people, today, let's remember. Every day, be careful that you do not forget God's goodness. Let's practice Thanksgiving today, not just by eating turkey and pumpkin pie, but by engaging our hearts and our minds through our long-term memories. Let's work at understanding the truth about our lives. Let's come back to God's goodness all the time. Which is why, if you read the Old Testament, you will keep hearing the Hebrew writers repeat over and over and over and over again the same stories about wandering through the desert and the promised land and plagues and how God saved them. They say, you know, he got us out of Egypt, he gave us manna, he defeated our enemies, he gave us this good land. And when you get to the New Testament, it's no different. Over and over and over again, we are reminded in our Bibles about the immensity of what God has done to save us through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, a tiny little example. The Apostle Paul writes, "Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For in our union with Christ, he has blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world." Through Jesus, you've got every blessing imaginable. Adoption into God's family, forgiveness of your sin, hope of a future in heaven. What else could you ask for? So today, as a family, what do you as an individual remember about God's goodness and blessing in your life? Let's exercise our long-term memories so we don't trick ourselves into believing that all the good gifts we have are because we've done it. I think that the completion of this building project is a good opportunity for us to do just that, to look for God's hand and providence over the long haul. So this week, I asked some of the committee to exercise their long-term memory, it's the building committee, and to reflect on God's goodness through this long, complex process. And I want you to hear, in a spirit of thanksgiving, their reflections. I shot this on my fancy iPhone device, so if the sound stinks, you know who to blame. It's not the sound guys. And as soon as they're done sharing in this video, I want to invite our board chairman, Frank Godfrey, just to come and share a couple minutes of how he is giving thanks for God's goodness this Thanksgiving. So let's roll that video, Daniel. I want to just express my thankfulness to you as a church family as well. It's hard for me not to see the goodness of God, the provision of God, in the way that he brings people together. And I especially want to draw your attention to this group of folks. There's a few others mixed in, but this is a good representation of the building committee, who we just had our final meeting on Wednesday night, and we looked at our original minutes. The first meeting was mid-October 2013 that these people have been working and planning and preparing for this project. And I want to tell you that, you know, you just kind of see them here and there on a video, but the way that they thought about these decisions, the way they thought about the process, the way they thought about how we raise money, how we use money, they treated this project like they were serving directly you. It wasn't a pet project of theirs. The way they handled that was they did it as though they were serving God himself. And unfortunately, many of those people needed a break and took off to go hang out with their families on Thanksgiving. But I know there are a few building committee members here right now. If you were on this team over the past few years, could I get you to stand? And we just want to express some appreciation. Mike's back there. There's a few others. But I want to, Frank raised an excellent point. I just want to ask if you participated in this project one way or another. So that means you might have been in prayer. Perhaps you helped at one of the work bees when we were moving out or moving back in. Perhaps you served on a committee. Maybe you gave financially to this project. If you participated in this process in one way or another over the past 4 years, and again, I know we're quiet, we don't like to do this, but I just want you to see the number of people who are engaged in this process over the past few years. So if you were involved, even in a small way, would you stand so we can see one another this morning? From giving, to serving on a work bee, participating in a meeting, all right? So that's who we are, that's what makes this happen. Paul when he is writing his letters, often talks about the thankfulness he has for people. He says things like this: "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So when I give thanks as a pastor, I give thanks to God for all he did through you. You did a fantastic job, but we have to acknowledge it was all God's doing in the end, right? That's what Thanksgiving is. So, it's time to dedicate this place. And as Brent said, the official definition of dedication is to set something apart for God's purposes or to God's glory. This is, to be honest, not the first time this building has been set apart for regular use. This will be the third time in the past 30 years that we have stood on this piece of property asking God to use the building for his purposes. We did it once in the 1980s, once in the mid-1990s, and now in the mid, what are these, the 2010s? I don't know what we call this. But someone gave us the program from the dedication service from 1986. So that is the front page of when you came in the mid-80s. Mike told me that he thinks he drew that on like some kind of Commodore 64 printing program and put it on the front. If you turn to the next page here, that is the order. And I am really excited that some of the same words those people prayed in that original building and how they asked God to work and move in our midst, we're going to say some of those same things today and ask him to continue doing the work that he's already done. And as we get ready to do that, I just want you to think about what has happened right here in the past 30 years since we moved to this property. We have dedicated hundreds of babies, asking God to bless them and make himself real to them. Some of those kids who are babies are now adults with their own babies right here this morning. Dozens of couples have been married before God right here. We have celebrated the lives and mourned the losses of our loved ones who have gone to be with Jesus through funerals, memorial services. In this place, we've celebrated birthdays and anniversaries and receptions and wedding and baby showers. Hundreds of people have been baptized in the tank behind me. Some people have met Jesus for the very first time in this room. We've asked God to give us guidance as we made decisions at annual meetings, board meetings, committee meetings, special general meetings, hundreds and thousands of meetings, and God has met us there in those meetings. We pored over God's word during thousands of Bible studies and I'm sure what seems like millions of sermons. In this place have been thousands of conversations with hurting people, pastoral conversations, people dealing with grief, depression, premarital counseling, challenges with their kids. In this room, millions of dollars have been given to the poor, to missions, to disaster relief. God's been present with us as youth have blasted ping pong balls at each other and played video games on these screens and held sleepovers and fundraisers and concerts of prayer. Boys and girls, teenagers, men and women have heard about Jesus for the first time in Sunday school and Gidget and Stockaders and Momentum and Alpha. We have commissioned people from this building to serve on 5 of the 7 continents. Men's breakfasts, ladies' brunches, dinner theaters, seniors' potlucks have been opportunities where we could meet God and each other around delicious food and drink. And I think on Thanksgiving Sunday that it's plain to see that God has already answered the prayers of dedication that we have made in the past. He has already set this place apart for His glory. And this morning, we're asking God to keep that work going and to use this place not just for us, but for the blessing and transformation of our town. Many of you will know the theme verse behind our building campaign, which we labeled, Open the Door. This is at Jeremiah 29:7. Seek the peace and prosperity of which the city I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Here's what that verse means to us. Number one, we believe that God has put us here in Cochrane. It's not an accident or something that caught God off guard. God has placed Cochrane Alliance Church here for such a time as this. We are here so that the community of Cochrane will thrive. And number two, we believe that God has called us to engage our town, to serve its people, to invest our lives, our finances, our energy in Cochrane. We, as people, and our building are here for the well-being of our community. And to seek the peace of Cochrane means that we care about its economic and its social and environmental and spiritual well-being. To seek the peace of Cochrane means that we as a church refuse to simply look out for our own kind, but we will also pay attention to, we will invest in, we will bless people who don't look like we do, who don't act like we do, who don't think like we do, maybe even don't believe what we do. Yes, we are going to build friendships with each other in this place, but it's our mission to include others. Yes, we will focus on our own families, but we will make sure that this blessing goes beyond our own tribe. Yes, we want to get to know Jesus better ourselves, but we know that His heart is always for the one who does not know Him yet. So this church building has been built not just with our own clan in mind, but for the good of the entire town as well. And so as we dedicate this building for the third time in our history, we are asking God specifically to use us and this place to bring shalom, to bring peace to Cochrane. And so I want to ask that you get ready to join me to do that very thing. And I want to invite my friend and mentor, a representative from the Western Canadian District of the Christian Missionary Alliance, Don Neufeld. For those of you who've been part of this family for a long time, know that Don was also the lead pastor that preceded me. And it's my honor to have him join me as we rededicate our building to God. Here's how it's going to work. We want to do a responsive reading together, and hopefully you can see the words on the screen behind me. I'm going to get you to stand. Why don't you do that? Don and I will read the word that words are in bold and ask that you together, and we won't slam boomsticks together, but let's say it with some meaning because this is putting a bit of a stake in the ground as we go forward. So we will alternate, and then please say what you see in the italics on the screen. Lord God Almighty, today we join with the writer of Psalm 103 in giving you praise.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits.
We know that without your blessing, without your guidance and provision, our efforts to build this church would have come to nothing. Thank you.
Bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me. Praise His holy name.
We dedicate this house to the glory of God, the Father who loves us, the glory of the Son who gave Himself for us, and to the glory of the Spirit who strengthens us.
For the worship of God, for prayer, and for the preaching of the gospel.
For the comfort of all who mourn, for the strength of all who are tempted, for the guidance of all who seek the way.
We dedicate this house. for the support of Christ-centered homes, the teaching and instruction of children and young people.
For the redemption of sinners, for the promotion of righteousness, for the discipleship of Jesus' followers, and for the extension of the kingdom of God over the whole earth.
We dedicate this house in faith, in unity, and in love and goodwill toward all of Cochrane.
In gratitude for the work of all who serve this church, in remembrance of all of those of our families who have finished the journey, and with perseverance, looking forward to the eternity with Christ Jesus our Lord.
We dedicate this house all together as members of the body of Christ, grateful for our heritage and committed to the mission he has given us. We now dedicate ourselves to the worship and service of Jesus Christ in this building, in the community of Cochrane, and around the world. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we do dedicate this house, this place, to your glory. We start with an attitude of thanksgiving, recognizing your goodness in providing us the resources, the people, the goodwill, and the unity to see a project like this through. And so we want to acknowledge that, yes, even though we collaborated together to make this happen, ultimately, this is your work. This is your building, and it's for your glory. We also give you thanks for the thousands of stories that we could tell of how you've used this place for those very purposes. Thank you for the way that you've built up many of us in the context of this church community. And now as we begin a new season, as we mark the finishing, the completion of this construction phase, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be at work here in a new and fresh way. We ask not that there would be good stories of what's happened in the past, but that some of our best stories, some of the days where your glory is most evident, that those days would be ahead of us. More than the building, we believe that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the church. And I ask that you would fill us afresh, that your weight would press down on us, that we would have the capacity and energy to bring goodwill, to bring peace, to bring the good news of Jesus in all its forms, in word, by what we say, in what we do, how we serve. We pray that you would use us to bring shalom and peace to our community. Father, we ask for your protection. We ask for your resources. We know we don't have the capacity to do this on our own. We need you to fight our battles, to keep us unified. And so we pray that you would go with us from this day forward, and we rededicate this facility to your glory and to your use. Use it however you want. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.